Welcome to Politics Ohio. I'm Emily McCord. A decision this week by the Ohio Supreme Court validated the maps for state House and Senate districts. To talk to me about what this means is Ellis Jacobs. He's a voter advocate and an attorney with Advocates for Basic Legal Equality, or ABLE. Welcome.
Thanks, Emily, for having me.
It can be really confusing when we're talking about this process because in redistricting, there's really two different things going on. When it comes to this Ohio Supreme Court decision, though, we're talking about the state House and Senate districts.
That's right. The Supreme Court decision is limited to how the state map is drawn, the map that determines state Senate districts and determines Ohio state House districts, state representative districts. It's limited to that. I like to say that redistricting, whether it's state redistricting or federal redistricting, is the most boring but most important thing in politics. People have a very hard time understanding just how important it is and how it works.
The whole crux of it is the idea that, a lot of these counties, these local government entities, are actually being split up in advantageous ways to a certain political party.
That's right. And the folks that challenged the state house maps in this Ohio Supreme Court decision pointed out that I think they said 49 counties are divided in 75 different ways, and the Ohio Constitution says you're not supposed to do that. The Supreme Court majority, however, says, you know what? It's not against the Ohio Constitution to draw the maps in a way that gives partisan advantage to one party or another. The Ohio Constitution doesn't have an opinion on that.
Was this strictly on partisan lines here that they did it, or was this a contested decision?
No, the decision is 4-3. There was a strongly worded dissent. There's only one Democrat on the Supreme Court. She was in dissent. She was joined by two Republicans. And they said that, number one, this idea that you would have to prove the maps unconstitutional beyond a reasonable doubt doesn't make any sense. The beyond a reasonable doubt standard is a standard you only use in the criminal law. And secondly, they said that if you're going to say that we're going to have great deference to the previous maps, basically what you're saying is that we're never going to overrule any maps that are drawn for any purpose in Ohio. And I think that's really where the law stands right now in Ohio. The Ohio Supreme Court has essentially, with this decision, said, we're taking ourselves out of this. We're not going to intervene to change any maps that are drawn for redistricting for the state house. And so that's, I think, what people can expect going forward.
Well, now that the election is over, we can sort of look at this through sort of hindsight. What can we draw as far as the results are concerned about what impact these state redistricting maps have had on the election?
Well, every 10 years, the maps are redrawn, both the state maps that we've been talking about and also the federal map that guides the districts for our congressional representatives that go to Washington. So every 10 years, they're redrawn, and we just did it in 2011. And based upon those new maps, we had the elections that we just had in 2012. And when the maps were redrawn in 2011, people looked at them and said, well, you can see which districts are drawn to benefit which party. And in fact, Ohio elects 133 people from state congressional districts, state Senate districts, and federal races. And of those 133 districts, 131 of them went exactly the way the maps were designed. They yielded the result that was intended. And that's kind of unfortunate. Basically, what it says is that the map drawing process matters a heck of a lot more to the outcome than people's opinions and how they choose to vote. As you know, this year, the Democrats did much better than they had 2 years earlier. You might have thought that they would have gained some seats in the Ohio State House. They didn't. The maps were freshly drawn. They yielded the result that was intended.
The Ohio Supreme Court, okay, so they're not going to touch it. Issue two just failed. What's going to happen next to address this?
Good question. There are a number of things that are in play right now. There's a Ohio State House Commission that's looking at it, a redistricting commission. Nobody really expects them to do a whole lot. And then there's this Constitutional Modernization Commission that was working in the state of Ohio right now that will go on for the next 10 years, and they'll probably look at it as well. So there'll be some things in these formal processes, but probably what's going to happen is that some of the players at the State House, and some of the people that have been pushing for change, the folks that were behind Issue 2, will probably be talking, and maybe, because everybody says they want to change it, because everybody says the system's broken, maybe they'll come to some resolution. I think either way, you're going to see the folks that push for Issue 2. And those are that's the League of Women Voters and Common Cause. I should say that I was a part of that process as well. You're going to see those folks continue to push for it, whether it's in the formal legislative arena or whether they again go to the ballot with some sort of constitutional amendment.
I've been speaking with Alice Jacobs. He's an attorney with Advocates for Basic Legal Equality. Thanks for being here today.
Sure, Emily. Thanks for having me.